and second of all, but not at all least, the devotees and friends who are looking in the internet, I have to really profoundly excuse myself. We somehow have to plan it a little different. We always want to start at 7 o'clock with the broadcast of the Gaura Lila evening, but somehow or other we never make it. We try and try since half a year, I believe, and every time we are late. So we will have to change the timings in some ways, and we will inform you through the internet. These Gaura Lila evenings were conceived for serious devotees. Devotees who want to feel something like a relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't just talk about what happened, but we talked about the feelings which were there, the rasas between the Lord and his devotees when he was present on the earth more than 500 years ago. We want to really look on Gaura Lila not as a passive observer, but like someone who was there and who could feel the electrifying effect of bhakti. We feel that our heart needs to be filled with bhakti emotions. If it is not, we will try, like so many unfortunate devotees, we will try for either enjoyments in the mode of ignorance, like drugs, or spiritualized drugs like peyote and ayahuasca, or we will try to fill our heart with rasa by going to discotheques and dancing or doing sports, or others of us try to divert their minds by making money and being materially successful. All this is necessary maybe by our karma to do, but it should never replace that sacred space in our heart where we want to feel bhakti or love for Krishna. Maybe by our karma we still need to make money. Maybe by our karma we are interested in sports and other things. But they should never replace the real taste of bhakti in our heart, which we are longing for since time immemorial. During the Gaura Lila evenings, we try to contact the most munificent, in German language, großzügige incarnation of Lord Krishna, who gave that rare treasure of bhakti to those who were able to contact him in the past, or who were desiring to contact him, who are desiring to contact him in the present. There is a problem in this Gaura Lila Katha. The problem is the speaker, Satchinandan Swami. My heart is very dry. It is not filled with spiritual rasas. But I want to ask you, my dear devotees, although I only have ordinary words, can these words not be spiritualized if they touch the lotus feet of Lord Gaura? Think about it. Ordinary well water from a well, can it not become charanamrita if it pours over Shalagram Shila or Govardhan Shila? It can. So even an ordinary man or an ordinary woman, if he contacts or she contacts the beautiful lotus feet of Lord Gauranga and forgets the mental platform and mood, then it is possible even for the ordinary person to feel rasa. Hare Krishna, like water, which is ordinary can become extraordinary in contact with the Chaitanya, with the Shila. This evening, I would love to tell you about the ecstatic relationship between one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees and the Lord himself. It is very, very sweet, the relationship. And by hearing this, you will understand some of the sweetness of the Lord. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nittananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nittananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Pancha Kalpa Taru Vaishya Exalted Prabodhananda Saraswati, on whose tongue the goddess of fortune resided when he wrote his text Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita, has a beautiful text about Lord Chaitanya's extraordinary devotees and his and their qualities. Tinarapi sunichata sahaja somya mukta kriti Shodha madhura bhashita vishaya ganda tutut kritihi Hari pranaya vivala kimapiti rana rabindita Bhavanti kila satguna jagati gaura bhajami ami. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur talks about the qualities of the devotees. He says they humbly think of themselves lower than a blade of grass, and therefore they develop natural gentleness and charm. My dear devotees, who is beautiful? He or she is beautiful whose heart is full of natural gentleness and natural charm, who speaks words as sweet as nectar. These these have Krishna in their hearts. And therefore, they naturally have the quality missing so much in spiritual communities, that is shanti, forbearance and forgiveness. Even if there is valid reason to get angry or upset, one nevertheless remains calm and peaceful if he is by nature humble. But if the heart is ruled by pride like the non-devotees have, then it's very difficult to forgive and be forbearant of others. These devotees, they are quite interested in the Lord, and they show an amazing disinterest in the affairs of the world because of their overwhelming love for Lord Hari. The big Pandit, Anandi Pandit, has said how a devotee views sense gratification. This is what is still so interesting for some of us. He sees sense gratification as a black hole, and he does not know where this hole will lead. He thinks it leads him to an area of voidness inside. Therefore, the devotee who has Lord Gaura in his heart shows disinterest to sense gratification, thinking it to be a black hole which leads nowhere. He avoids it. Such devotees don't think that material wealth and prosperity are signs of the Lord's mercy. They feel that the wealth of devotion is a sign that the Lord has given us His mercy. In our Western culture, Calvin, who was the Gegenspieler of Luther, said something which Max Weber has identified as the beginning of the Western capitalistic thought. Calvin said that you can see the Lord's mercy upon you if you are successful in your material life. If you are unsuccessful, that is a sign that the Lord has not seen your real desires and has not accepted you. Bhavini is showing signs of great disturbance to hear this. But this is a materialistic culture, and we are children of this culture. The example of a devotee who is so forbearant, also tolerant und duldsam, and who is so disinterested in material things because he has the wealth of overwhelming love in his heart. The example of this devotee is Sridhar, who carried the nickname Kola Becha, the banana seller. In India, they always give you your names according to interesting and obvious things. For instance, if you live at the corner of a street, they will call you the Corner Baba. I'm in India known in Vrindavan in some parts as a bicycle Baba, because I sometimes go with a bicycle there, and everyone knows bicycle Baba is coming. They will give you names according to your external features. If for instance someone has not natural hair any longer, he's the head Baba, and everyone knows everyone has a head, but he is a special head Baba. So he was known as the banana Baba, because Kola Becha lived in an orchard, Obst garden of banana trees, and he was poor. He didn't own that banana trees. He would buy it from the owner, the whole tree, and then he would sell different items from the tree to customers. He would make use of the flowers, which are very good for banana flower sabji. He would make use of the bananas. He would make use of the bark of the trees, which you could use in house constructions. He even hollowed the tree and took the inside of the tree, which is very tasty for a stem, banana stem sabji. And he made leaf plates from the leaves. So he was the, his name was Shridhar, but he was called Kolavecha, the banana seller, Shridhar. One thing you must know about Kolavecha Shridhar, that he was as honest as the king of Dharma, Yudhishthira. He would only have fair prices. Whatever little income he made, he split it in two. One, he gave to the worship of Mother Ganga, one half. For instance, he would offer aratis to Mother Ganga with tears in his love, and he would have to buy the ghee and so on for the ghee wicks, to burn them into the Arctic flames. He would buy a little rice and put it on little cups and offer it to Mother Ganga, who took these offerings of love in the form of these little cups and ate the rice of Kolavecha Shridhar. The other half of his meager income he used to maintain his livelihood. Now, the materialists were laughing at Kolavecha Shridhar. Why? He's so poor. Is he giving half of his income to the worship? Just like materialists will laugh at the devotees of Krishna. Why are they so eager to get up so early in the morning? Why are they using their Lakshmi to give charity to other people who are in need? Why are they organizing festivals for others? The value system of transcendence is have less material opulences and be more conscious in your life. The value of material life is have more and be less. Nowadays people think of consciousness also. But it is said if you become attracted too much to material opulences, it makes you dull-witted and ultimately attached, and you forget the values of spiritual life. Krishna is known as someone who becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy with devotional service. Krishna is also known as Prema Rasa Gya. He knows Gya, the Prema inside the heart of his devotees, and relishes their devotional activities. On the other hand, Krishna does not accept anything from those who are proud of their material possessions, of their material wealth, their education, their aristocracy, and their activities. Often such men who have a materialistic value system throw insults on the poor devotees who live in material poverty. There's an example of how Krishna prefers the offerings of devotees who are possessionless to the offerings of materialists. There was the great materialist Duryodhana, who hated the Pandavas, who were devotees of the Lord. He wanted to drive them away from his kingdom. One day he invited Krishna to his palace to try to pull him away from the Pandavas and onto his side. when Krishna came in the morning to the palace of Duryodhana, Duryodhana had arranged many servants who glorified Krishna. And he had arranged a wonderful... It's alright. We are talking about Kula Vecha Shrita. Please don't be worried. It's alright. I'm preparing you for more. There's much more drama coming this evening. Garada looks at his Paket Fußboden. I'm drying it, Garada. It will be alright. Don't worry. So, in the spirit of Yukta Vairagya, I will take care of this. So, in the morning, Krishna walked into the palace. He heard the glorifications. He was shown to a wonderful throne, but Krishna said, "O Duryodhana, because you dislike my devotees, the words of praise which come from your mouth and the mouth of your servants is like thunder in my ears, and the cushions which you offer me to take my seat are piked with thorns. I am afraid to hurt myself if I sit down anywhere in your thorny palace." The Lord had avoided to come to Duryodhana's banquet in the evening and had preferred to dine in the house of Vidura, his devotee who lived in poverty. He had preferred to eat the simple food which Vidura offered him, which was only a banana. Actually, Vidura was so bewildered when Krishna did not come into the palace of Duryodhana to eat, that when it came time to host Krishna, he made a mistake, and instead of offering the banana, he offered the banana peel. But Krishna preferred this simple offering of, this mistaken offering of the banana peel. So the feast of the non-devotee Duryodhana, he preferred the words of Vidura to the praises by the brahmanas of Duryodhana. And he preferred the hard bench which Vidura could offer him, Hatabank, to the soft cushions which were waiting in the palace for him. Because Krishna liked the prema rasa, the feeling of sincere love in the heart of the devotees. He is not interested in material goods. This is Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came every day to Kula Vecha Shrita, who sat there on a simple market street with a few banana flowers, a few bananas, a few leaf plates. And he said, "Kula Vecha, your price is too high. I give you half of the money." "No," said Kula Vecha, "my price is very cheap compared with the price of others." Lord Chaitanya said, "You keep your wealth hidden and you cheat the public. You make an outside show of extreme poverty. One day I will go and I will show how much money you have at home. Give me things for half of the price." "No, I need the Lakshmi, whatever little I can make, to worship Mother Ganga. Lord Chaitanya then would just throw a few annas, a few conscious to Shrita, after arguing for 2 hours. Then he grabbed bananas and leaves and ran away and called her bitches. He's very, very naughty. Another day, the next morning, Nimai Pandit came and said, what's the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time? Kolavecha Shrida, you should give me today the things for half of the price. Because, do you know who I am? Yes, said Kolavecha Shrida. You are a very argumentative and temperamental son of a Brahmana. No! I am the origin of Mother Ganga, whom you worship with half of your income. This mother who nourishes all the devotees comes from my toe. You should therefore give me things for half of the price. Don't cry. You are worshipping the father of Ganga. Kulavesha went, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Ordinary people become more mature as they grow old, but you become more and more arrogant. What is wrong with you? Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would argue, and at the end, he would grab the few bananas, give half of the price, and go away. Because, opposite to Calvin's teachings, the mercy of the Lord, when he gives you a special, special mercy, is to make you materially disattached and to give you instead the wealth of prema. The next day, Kolavecha Shrida was already trembling. He was not trembling out of fear, he was trembling with eagerness to see that Brahmana coming down the path and arguing with him the prema quarrel. When Lord Chaitanya came, Sita called out in desperation, why don't you go to some other supplier? There must be cheaper shops than mine. Be satisfied with my price, please. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, no, I found a good supplier. Why should I give up my best supplier? Then Sridhar stopped arguing and looked at Lord Chaitanya. How did Lord Chaitanya look at that period of time? I have made a thorough study of the scriptures to try to explain to you. Who of you has ever fallen in love? Have you seen that when it happens, you see the other person as beautiful and as highly interesting? This is there because of the charm of Cupid, Madan, who bewilders you. You think that person is the most beautiful person in the universe, but others might disagree, you know. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked as beautiful as Cupid. But not as one Cupid, thousands of Cupids. He looked so beautiful that Kolavecha Shrida could just stare at him. It's normally unpolite to stare at someone, but in devotion it's alright. You can stare at God. No problem. His forehead was decorated with a very fine tilak, and his dhoti was tucked in three places it was very elegant. He had very rich hair, curly hair, coming on the sides, and which was bound on the head with a top knot. He had no hair loss, it was full. His earrings were very nicely designed, and they were slightly slanting, das heißt, die waren nach unten geneigt, wenn ihr es euch vorstellen könnt. His eyes were very restless, he looked very temperamental, and he had a beautiful bronze ring which had an effulgence, because Anantadev personally resided in that Brahman thread. He chewed all the time betel leaves, which made the lips cherry colored, rosy. And he looked so beautiful that Sri had just said, "Toma kukur, I am your surrendered dog, your servant. Forgive me that I was asking for the right price. You can have it for half the price." My dear devotees, even the Russian poet Dostoevsky wrote, "The world will be conquered only by beauty." The beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu conquered Kolavecha Shridhar's heart to such a degree that although he had religious obligations towards the worship of Ganga, he was willing to depart with his goods for half of the price. This was Kolavecha Shridhar. Very, very, very surrendered. Finally, he made a settlement. He said, "Daily come to me. Take my leaf plates, take my banana stems and my bananas for free." Daily the Lord would come and he would stay for 2 hours with Kolavecha Shridhar. And then he would eat all his rice from only the leaf plates which this simple devotee, who was conquered in love, would give him. Daily would eat all his preparations from the leaf plates, not from the golden plates which other devotees offered him. "I take from Kolavecha." He proves indirectly that the Lord enjoys the gifts of his devotees and does not even glance at millions of precious gifts offered by those who have no love for him in their hearts. In the Bhagavatam it says that the Lord does not need our service. It is wrong to think, Kanupriya, that the Lord needs your offerings which come from your household. When the Lord accepts our offerings, it's for the benefit of us. And the Bhagavatam gives the example, when you decorate yourself, like some of our Matajis do, then the mirrored image in the mirror, the Spiegelbild, is automatically decorated. So in the same way, the Bastian, when you are worshipping Krishna with love, then you are decorated with loving symptoms in your heart. We were discussing this in Radha Sharanagati Kala, this book. Offering loving service for Krishna is, in other words, for our interest. If we do not offer service for Krishna consciously, our heart becomes hard and desert-like. It is not in our interest. It is in our interest to serve Krishna. When we serve Krishna, that our heart will blossom with love. At Radhakund, there is one small charity project. It is Braj Care. It is done by good-hearted devotees like you. Some of you help Braj Care. And it takes care of a few poor Vaishnavas. These Vaishnavas live at Radhakund like Kolavicha Shrita lived in Navadvip. Their roofs are sometimes having holes. From the ground they are leaking pipes and their houses are full of water. They don't have regular meals. One anthropologist studies the ethnic cultures of the world from Japan came and was with a camera team to film our widows which we take care of in Radhakund. And after 3 days the anthropologist said, but these people, they live so without any material opulences. They are so poor. Yet their eyes and faces are so shiny. What is the secret of these widows? What is the secret of these saints? And our Braj Care devotee said, they have an inner wealth, the wealth of prema rasa, the wealth of love for Krishna. And that is the real wealth. You cannot have this inner wealth by doing by becoming rich. You cannot have this wealth by trying to be a good social person. You can have this only if you take care of your spiritual roots, that is, take care of Krishna. When you take care of Krishna, this doesn't mean you should not be a nice person. It doesn't mean you should not take care of emotional well-being. And Mangala gave some of the Schloss devotees a first-class training yesterday about living in sattva. You should also take care of this, but on the basis of your spiritual roots. Look at the tree. The healthy roots are there in the healthy leaves. That is, it's one thing. If you take care spiritually, your relationships which you take care of in the crown of your tree of life, willow, where you give to others, where you are there for others, like the tree whose crown, krone, is there for others, is also the roots. It's all one concept. But the roots needs to be there. When the roots are cut, everything falls into pieces. You can cut the leaves and the branches, but if the root is cut, the tree has to die. Kolavicha Shrita teaches us this. Once the Lord asked Shrita, Shrita, why are you so poor? Your house is leaking. Look at your pullovers. Pullovers, not your shirts. There was no pullover with Shrita. They are full of holes. I can't believe what I see. You are chanting Hari's name, who is the husband of Mother Lakshmi. But Lakshmi is not coming to you. On the other hand, those who worship Kali or Chandi, they have so much. Why don't you stop your worship of Hari? It doesn't work. He doesn't give you Lakshmi. And start worshipping Chandi. And Kolavicha Shrit said, I'm not starving. I have clothes. They're not fine clothes. They're not the right size. But my body is covered. But Shrita, argued the Lord, your clothes are torn in several places. And I know you have no supply of rice in your house. Look around you. All the citizens here worship Goddess Chandi. And none of them suffer for want of food, shelter, or clothing. But even your house falls apart. Sheila said, I see it differently. I see that generally speaking, everyone's life is almost the same. The king may live in a palace surrounded by opulences and eat fine food, but the birds and the trees, they live in the trees. They have their food, they have their nests, and many times they're more happy than the king because they have no politics. By the Lord's design, every one of us must somehow meet his physical demands. Everyone is doing it and behaving more or less alike. Personally, I prefer a simple life without worries to a life where I'm constantly in worries. Then someone will come and take my money. My God, the king will come and take taxes and so on. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are true. What you have said is true. Although by external standards you live so poor, you have a wealth inside of you, the inner wealth, which makes you more rich than even the richest man in the world. I'm reminded of a very, very good example. There was once a king who needed an advice and came to a sadhu who had clairvoyance, Hellsichtigkeit, in the forest and asked him for an advice. And the sadhu gave him advice. The king was very happy and said, I want to give you half of the kingdom. The sadhu said, I see you're leading wars. Is that true? Yes. Why do you lead wars? Well, I need to expand my country so that the wealth will be enough. Then keep your country, which you have now, half of your country. I'm richer than you. I don't need land. I don't need money. I don't need nothing of this thing. You are poor. You need to constantly have money and you need to have constantly wealth. Dionysus of Greek, that is when a rich man offered him a sack of gold. He said to him, he was only eating lentils. He was very poor. He lived his house was a little barrel, I'm fast. The man said, Dionysus, you're a good man, here you have some gold. And Dionysus said, wait a minute, do you like gold? Yes, of course. Do you want to have more of gold? Yes, of course. That's why we make business. And then you take it. I don't need gold. I don't need this. I don't want more. You are poor. I am rich because I don't need anything. This is a standard of transcendence. When you are rich internally, you don't need all these material things. You don't need to prove yourself in the world. You don't need to show. You don't have material projects. You are like a devotee is, who makes wealth, but who gives it away in better causes. Who tries to serve the mission of his spiritual master with his wealth. Wealth is not bad. If you use it in the service of Krishna, then you give Lakshmi back to the husband Madhava. But if you use wealth away from Krishna, that very same wealth will make you unhappy, just like Ravana became unhappy by stealing Sita away from Rama. This is how it is said in the scripture. The Lord is known as the instructor of his devotees, and I will come now to the end. He made a very, very nice instruction when he blessed Kolavecha Sridhar. I would like you, because now it will become very ecstatic, that we sing a little bit. Now, Hare Krishna Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kolavicha Sridhar, who sits with a few bananas and waits for Lord Gauranga to come and steal them because he wants to offer his love to the Lord. You need this image to understand what happens now. Please sing. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
To look with you at the particular point which Mahaprabhu wanted to make in his dealings with Kolavecha Shrita. I think when we were here a few Goralila evenings back, we heard about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had dealt with another of his dear devotees. Who remembers this devotee? Mukunda, who was the kirtan singer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He had taken his most dear devotee, I mean, it's difficult to say the most dear devotee, but he had taken Mukunda and had put Mukunda into a situation in which the true glory of Mukunda's bhakti would come forth, and through which we all would learn what Mahaprabhu desires of what is true Gaudiya Vaishnav kirtan. He made the point through his kirtan singer. This is kirtan. This is how you sing kirtan. Like Mukunda, who begged in his kirtan that the divine energy of bhakti would enter his kirtan and transport his kirtan beyond time and space onto the spiritual platform. So Mahaprabhu also called Kolavecha Shrita. It was during the night of the Satpariya Bhava. Let me see if this, yes. Satparahiya Bhava. These were 21 hours where Mahaprabhu went out of the role of a devotee and stepped right into the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the house of Srivas Pandit, he sat down on the altar and for 21 hours he manifested the forms of Godhead who came out of his transcendent body. So towards the evening of this amazing day, he was surrounded by all his associates, and the devotees served him. Some were fanning him, some were garlanding him, some gave him betel. Others were just dancing in bliss. Others were praying and reciting prayers. And then the time came to offer aratik. This is the famous Gora aratik, which we are singing each evening. It's the aratik song, See Gora Chandra. Lord Nityananda is holding an umbrella over his head. He's sitting on the bank of the Janavi River, the Ganga, and he's surrounded by his dear devotees. So at the end of the arati, Gauranga Mahaprabhu called very loudly, Shridha, Shridha, oh Shridha. His devotee said, Kolavecha Shridha? Yes, I want to see him. The devotee said, where do we find Kolavecha? He lives in the north of Mayapur, said Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But it's dark now. How will we find him? You just go north, and after some time, you will hear how the sounds of the night will be echoing with Kola Vichar Sridhar's loud chanting. The one who calls, O Gopal, O Hari, you are the only goal of my life. Maybe you hear this sound, you follow that sound, and it will lead you to the simple cottage of Kola Vichar Sridhar. The Bhagavatam tells us that the Lord hears the constant calling of his devotees, and he comes to them because the Lord himself knows that he is conquered by the love of his devotees, by nothing more. I think when some of you, I know some of you chant, some of you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and chant here in the Dharma Casa so early, you must know when you learn to call for the Lord will come. Either he will come to you or he will call you to his side. One of the two possibilities. So here, the Lord calls Kola Vichar Sridhar to his side. The devotees go, and all of a sudden, the night is punctuated by the loud calling. O Mukunda!
O Mukunda!
O Vanamali!
O Vanamali!
O Gopal!
O Gopal!
Yes. All night, Lord Chaitanya has told his devotees, this Kola Vichar Sridhar calls my name. The atheists around him are angry at him because they can't sleep. And they say, this fool, he's so hungry in his stomach that the raging sound of his hunger doesn't allow him to sleep. And that's why he calls out like one possessed throughout the night. But Kola Vichar is undisturbed. So the devotees go. It's dark. It must be the cricket sound. And some shringal sounds are there when you go in Mayapur. Ooh, so much shringals. Jackals. Now, the jackal population has increased dramatically. And if you have children, in the night, they should not go outside in the fields. A lot of shringals are there. So the devotees go through the spooky night, and then they hear, O Mukunda!
O Mukunda!
O Gopal!
O Gopal!
O Vanamali!
O Vanamali!
And they follow that sound, and they go to Kola Vichar Sridhar, and they knock at the door. Kola Vichar sees them, and he must have been very shocked. I remember I was once lost in Orissa, and there was no directions. We were with the jeep somewhere in some Feldweg, and I thought we need to find some directions. So I left the car with a torchlight. At that time I was still adventurous, and then I saw a little kutia, and people were chanting there. That's what people do in poor villages. They sing in the evening. That's their TV. That's their disco. Mm-hmm. That's their everything. That's their film. And so on program. They just chant. And so I knocked at the door. Click. The chanting stopped. And then I went into the house with my white skin. And the people, a ghost. And they said the word for ghost. At that time I knew the word. Now I don't remember it. Boot. It's boot. Boot. In the night, if someone knocks at your door, it's quite something. So they came into Sridhar's house and they said,
Nearby Pandit wants to see you.
Moi Amar Nimai Pandit, said she, Golabi Chashida. And he fainted with love. And he said, "Doctor, not so emotional, just let's go." So they went to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And I've written it down here in my notebook. When he arrives, he sees his Nimai with a golden color on the altar, and he immediately offers his dandavat pranam. And as he is still on the ground, he hears the voice Nimai Pandit, "Sridhar, now look at me." And his head comes up, and he sees before his very eyes how the golden complexion Lord turns into the color of a black tamal tree. Syam Krishna, with his flute in his hand, to his right stands Balaram. Every direction was filled with a bright light, and all the devatas, beginning with Brahma and Shiva and also Rama, stand around Gauranga Mahaprabhu and offer him praises and service. The great saints Sanaka, Nalada, and Shuka Muni stand there. And all the four directions are filled with gopis who have musical instruments, who laugh and smile and praise the Lord. And then he sees how above the beautiful form of the Lord, who stands there in a threefold bending form, moving like this and looking at his devotees all the time, how above him there is Ananta Shesha with his many, many hoods, many heads. Various emotions start to overwhelm Sridhar, like awe, wonderment, and more than anything, an overwhelming sense of love for his Lord. Finally, he starts to reel, er schwankt hin und her, and then falls to the ground like a banana tree. Our TV has also fallen on the ground, or not necessarily. It's not. The moment when I said he fell on the ground, then the TV became black. It couldn't stand the ecstasy any longer. Then the next thing he says, "Sridhar, please don't fall on the ground. Get up. I want to listen to your prayers." Sridhar said, I'm not a Brahmana. I don't know anything. I cannot speak." "Sridhar, because you have love in your heart for me, every word of you is like a Vedic hymn. Please speak." But Sridhar cannot bring any word out. Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu orders the goddess Saraswati to come on the tongue of Sridhar. And as he comes on the tongue, and she comes on the tongue, he starts to speak. "My dear devotees, when bhakti is in your heart, the spiritual Saraswati will enter your heart and you will speak. Gokishodas Babaji, the spiritual master of the intellectual giant Srila Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, when he was still a grihastha, would sign his business dealings with three He didn't know writing. Then he took Babaji. He went to Navadvipa. But he spoke on the most profound spiritual truth, so that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who knew all the Vedas by heart, would learn from him. Because he had bhakti in his heart. And because of the bhakti, he spoke like a learned scholar. So now, Kulavecha Shrida says, Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu,
Jaya Jaya Mahaprabhu,
Jaya Vishvambhara,
Jaya Vishvambhara,
Jaya Jaya Navadvipa,
Jaya Jaya Navadvipa,
Jaya Purandara,
Jaya Purandara.
He says, oh great master, O you who maintain countless universes as Vishvambhara, as O you who are the king of Navadvipa, all glories to you, the Lord of innumerable universes. He says, you were born from the womb of Mother Sachi. And then he says, Jaya Jaya Veda Gopya,
Jaya
Dvija Raja.
Jaya Dvija Raja.
It means you are hidden in the Vedas and you are the best of Brahmanas. Yuge Yuge Dharma Pala.
Yuge Yuge Dharma Pala.
Harinana Saja.
Harinana Saja.
You assume various forms and incarnations, yuga after yuga, to maintain dharma. You wandered throughout our town, unrecognized by anyone. In the past, you made the town of Gokula glorious. What is the town of Gokula? Vrindavan. Who is the king of Gokula? Nanda Maharaj. You made Gokula glorious in the past. Now you appeared as the king of Navadvipa. And you walked through our town. Previously you had personally told me that the water of Mother Ganga has emanated from your feet. But my sinful heart did not recognize you. You are known only by bhakti, and it is bhakti that conquers you. Therefore, you keep your bhakti concealed and hidden. But in this present incarnation, you are freely distributing bhakti to anyone who just chants your holy name. Because Bhishma had bhakti, he defeated you and made you break your own promise. Because Yashoda had bhakti in her heart, she could bind you on a mortar. Because Satyabhama had bhakti in her heart, she sold you to Narada Muni. And because Sridham Sakha had bhakti in his heart, you carried him. You are carried by the pious living entities in the countless universes in their hearts. They carry you in their hearts. But you carried Sridham on your shoulders. But like a king who hides his treasures, you have kept your bhakti hidden. But now your hiding is over, shattered. In the past, you were conquered only by two or four persons. But just see, now the whole world stands before you and prays for your bhakti. even people from Berlin.
He must have helped them.
Soon you will become bound by all of these people. You will appear in their lives.
When the exalted Vaishnavas heard these prayers, they were struck with wonder.
These prayers were inspired by Saraswati, who came to the Lord because of the bhakti of Kulavecha Sridapani. And from that day on, Sridhar was no longer called Kulavecha Sridhar, but Sri Pandit Sridhar. The devotee said to him, "You know everything." Just see, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed a secret through his devotee. Bhakti is what counts. Bhakti brings knowledge. Bhakti brings wealth. Bhakti brings everything to you. Without bhakti, all the other things, knowledge, wealth, will not be very good for you. But when that bhakti is there, when it starts to come even a little bit in your heart, then you feel truly happy. I was with Prema Mayirati from your Dharma castle and her cousin and Banu Nandini and others in Russia, and there was a very nice congress by the devotees of Krishna. And in the end of his session, Govardhan Gopal, a first-class bhakta of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, had told the people in such clear words that the Lord is everywhere. They should just open their hearts for the love which the Lord wants to show on each one of us. And then he asked them to receive that love by getting up and doing like Russians, moving like this. And they did this. And they opened their heart for the bhakti, which the bhaktas distributed. They were not closed-hearted. They were open-hearted. And in the end of this, the people spoke up and said, "You have brought God back into our life. We are so thankful." Some of them cried. Did you remember, Prema Mayirati? It was one very important discovery for Prema Mayirati. I spoke with her afterwards, and she felt great benefit from going there. The Lord said, "O Sridhar, you have praised me so nice, but now you must ask me for a boon. Whenever ever someone sees me, he should ask me for something. This is my desire." Sridhar said, "My Lord, you have deceived me once. When you said you are the father of Ganga, I was deceived and did not believe you. I will not fall into your trap again. I will not ask you for anything." "No, Sridhar, seeing me cannot go in vain. You must receive a boon. Ask me for something. Ask, 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 ask." Choose the 8 mystic perfection. Now for those of you who are not mystics, the Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, and Narada Pancharatra list these Ashtasakhi. First, these are abilities by which you can transform your body. Anima city, you become smaller than the smallest. Then Mahima city, you become greater than the greatest. Then Lagima city, you become lighter than the lightest. And then comes city by which you can obtain all things you want. Prapti city, you acquire whatever you desire. Prakamya city, you get the power to do just anything within the scope of material nature and enjoy anything. And there are cities Kama Vasayita city. One can obtain anything from anywhere and is able to enjoy anything one can imagine. The yoga community is crazy after these things. They even do irreligious activities, doing some tantra to get some of these cities to enjoy anything. The fallen devotee community grabs ayahuasca and other things to get something out of the world. This is nothing. If you want something, get the eight cities. You small timers. Ordinary Germans. Get, if you want something, cities is the thing. And here the Lord says to Shridhar, you can get the Ashtasakhi. Nicht Ashtasakhi, I'm always with the Ashtasakhi. She says, I don't wish to have any of those. But my Lord, if you want to give me something, let that Brahmana who forcibly took away my banana leaves and constantly quarreled with me be my Lord, birth after birth. I want this rasa. Rasa means the nectar in a divine relationship. That I want more than the Ashtasakhis. I always say Ashtasiddhi. While Shridhar spoke, his love increased. He raised his arms and began to cry loudly. And all the Vaishnavas started to cry. But the Lord was not satisfied. He said, Shridhar, become a king of a rich country. I give you a kingdom. I can give that. But poor Shridhar said, I don't want anything. Let me chant your names. Make such an arrangement. That will be better. Then the Lord finally was satisfied. You are my Dasa, Shridhar. That's why your mind does not deviate. Listen to me. I will give you now Veda Gopya Bhakti Yoga. That Bhakti which is hidden by the Vedas. All the Vaishnavas witnessed this. And when they saw how Shridhar's heart, which was already softened by the influences of Baba, was now overwhelmed with a stream of prema rasa, they shouted very loudly, Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Jai Jai!
Jai Jai Mahaprabhu!
Jai Jai Mahaprabhu!
Jai Vishvambara!
Jai Vishvambara!
Jai Jai Navadvipa Purandara!
Jai Jai Navadvipa Purandara!
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Just final comments. I thank you that you were with us, the internet audience. You can leave it because some might be speaking German, but I will speak now the German language. Ich möchte euch ganz kurz etwas Persönliches sagen. Ich meine, ihr könnt vielleicht sehen, dass für mich diese Themen sehr, sehr wichtig sind. Ich bin dadurch ehrlich auch bewegt durch diese Themen und versuche die natürlich. Es ist für mich ein langer Weg mit diesem Gaura Lila und ich möchte jetzt nicht so sehr persönlich darüber sprechen, aber mir ist halt klar geworden in meinem spirituellen Leben, dass ich letztendlich berührt werden möchte durch den Einbruch des Göttlichen in mein Leben. Ich glaube, der Mensch wünscht sich immer diese Kraft, die von außen kommt und die mit ihm etwas macht. Deswegen wünscht sich ein Mann eine ideale Frau, in der er versucht, zu wachsen, oder eine Frau wünscht sich den idealen Partner, jemand, der von außen kommt. Das religiöse Moment oder das spirituelle Moment ist auch ein Suchen nach diesem Berührtwerden von einer göttlichen Kraft, die von außen kommt. Bhakti ist letztendlich nicht etwas, was in der Psychologie des Menschenseins Sitz hat, sondern es ist ein Geschenk, was von oben gegeben wird und was uns erfasst und berührt. Wie ein Wasserfall wird gesagt, der von oben kommt, der in unser Herz hineingeht, unser Herz erfüllt und dann vom Herzen auf die Zunge kommt, wenn große Devotees sprechen, dann hört man, wird man berührt, ja, die empfinden anscheinend ein bisschen was dabei bei diesen Themen. Nicht? Das ist eine Kraft, die für den Menschen zunächst einmal, jetzt kommt ein schwieriges deutsches Wort, nicht verfügbar ist. Er kann tun und lassen, was er will. Er kommt da nicht rein. Ich habe ein mich total berührendes Gespräch mit Gadata über C.G. Jung gesprochen gehabt, der am Anfang sehr richtig gesagt hat, dass Religion für ihn nicht so untersucht werden, weil es einfach nur, es sind nur Konzepte zunächst einmal. Aber dann hat er später im Leben eben auch den Einbruch des Göttlichen in sein Leben gemerkt. Nun Menschen, die das nicht, die diesen Weg der Bhakti nicht gehen, versuchen natürlich diesen Einbruch des in ihr Leben zu bekommen, wie es meine Generation bekommt. Ich weiß nicht, ob ihr vertraut seid mit den großen Propaganda meiner Kultur, Propagandist Jim Morrison, der sehr darüber gesprochen hat, den ich sehr verehrt habe in meiner Zeit, ein Pop-Idol, der auch wusste, dass die menschliche Erfahrung zu begrenzt ist und der versuchte, den Einbruch einer anderen Energie natürlich über Drogen, psychedelische Drogen und dann über Magie zu gewinnen. Das war auch mein Weg, diese Dinge zu versuchen. Weil das waren die Helden. Ich wollte auch berührt werden. Ich wollte überwältigt werden von etwas, was nicht von mir kommt, was außerhalb meines Denkens ist. Aber das ist halt materiell, diese Dinge. Die fesseln einen an das materielle Energie, an die materielle Energie und machen einen dullwitted, nicht offen für die wirklichen Schätze, die man eigentlich sucht dahinter, die Ekstase der Bhakti. Es gibt einen deutschen Psychologen, der, das habe ich von Philipp gelernt, wir hatten einen tollen, tollen Ausflug unternommen in dem tollen Ruderboot, und der hat ein Buch geschrieben mit dem provokanten Titel Bluff und zeigt dort auf, wie viele der Konzepte, die wir gelernt haben, eigentlich nur uns bluffen und über das wirkliche Denken hinwegführen. Nicht? Also zum Beispiel was, Philipp? Zum Beispiel was, wie sind wir geblufft in unserer Kultur?
Geblufft über die ideale Gesundheit. Ja. Dass man, wenn man gesund lebt, wenn man ewig lebt oder solche Sachen, dass man in den Medien erfährt, was gut und böse ist.
Ja. Der geblufte Mensch des Modernen. Und er überlegt sich dann, wie kommt man an das wirkliche Leben heran, an das uneditierte Leben. Wie kann man diesen Schleier in unserer Sprache der Irreführung oder Maya durchbrechen? Und er kommt zu einer interessanten Schlussfolgerung durch Schlüsselerlebnisse, sagt er im Englischen, defining moments, key moments. Und ich bin ja sehr interessiert an diesen Sachen. Mein Zugang zum Krishna-Bewusstsein ist ein anderer als ein intellektueller. Es geht auch über die Erfahrung. Nicht? Und ich kann nur sagen, dieses Hereinbrechen einer göttlichen Erfahrung und die einen berührt und einen auch von diesen Irreführungen freimachen, sind Erlebnisse, die man nach unserer Tradition in Gemeinschaft mit Devotees macht. Schlüsselerlebnisse. Wie jetzt zum Beispiel für Prema Mayirade war das ein Schlüsselerlebnis. Sie hat, glaube ich, wieder, ich will es nicht sie interpretieren, aber sie nach Russland zu gehen und das zu erleben, nicht? Oder für manche, für mich ist es ein Schlüsselerlebnis, immer nach Vrindavan zu gehen. Oder auch bei mir zu Hause im Gora Bhavan vor den Dedis zu chanten, früh morgens und einfach Gebete zu ihnen zu chanten von Bhaktivinoda Thakur, dessen Verscheidungstag wir heute haben. Es war für mich ein sehr berührender Morgen. Ich möchte euch ermutigen, seid nicht schüchtern, sucht auch ihr Erlebnisse. Das muss natürlich, wenn ihr Bhakti wollt, sind das Erlebnisse, die ihr im Bhakti-Bereich möchtet. Nicht? Seid da nicht schüchtern. Wisst, gebt nicht auf und versinkt nicht in dem Alterstrott oder noch schlimmer, wird wieder gewöhnliche Deutsche mit geschlossenen Herzen. Nicht? Die kein inneres Leben haben, sondern sich einfach nur von außen energetisieren lassen wollen durch Filme und was weiß ich, alle möglichen Stimulantien, da gibt es ja, gebt es nicht auf, das ist möglich. Und Kolavitscher Sridhar, der, wir sollten ihn jetzt Sridhar Pandit nennen, nachdem er Saraswati im Mund hatte, hatte es gesagt, er hatte gesagt, die ganze Welt steht jetzt vor deiner Tür, du gibst nämlich Prema Bhakti, in der Goranga Bhakti, in dieser Gaudiya Vaishnavatum können wir diese Schlüsselerlebnisse haben. Wir müssen vielleicht ein bisschen schlau sein oder ein bisschen interessiert sein und nicht so trüb und dull-witted, sagt man in Englisch. Wir müssen sehen, wo kriege ich die? Wo kriege ich die her? Und als die Anthropologin, die also diesen Film über die Witwenkultur in Indien machte und eine ganz depressive Witwen erwartete, eben sah, wie die leuchteten, da war die so, das war für sie ein Schlüsselerlebnis, dass sie zum Radha Damodar Tempel ging und sich ein Beats dort organisierte, weil sie merkte, die chanteten alle Japa. Das war für sie das Schlüsselerlebnis. Gebt es nicht auf, schafft eine Atmosphäre, das muss doch möglich sein, denn Gauranga Mahaprabhu, alles was er sehen will, ist, dass man seine Devotees achtet. Deswegen war er immer so zornig über die Atheisten, die Kolavitscher Sridhar so schlechte Dinge über ihn sagten und ihn so fehlinterpretierten. Nicht? Und denen hat er nie seine Bhakti gegeben, diesen Atheisten, sonst hat er sie gegeben. Wenn du einfach die heiligen Namen chantest und die Devotees nicht beurteilst, wie wir Westler das immer so schön machen, wenn wir nach unserem komischen Bluffsystem, die wir gelernt haben in unserer Kultur, dann wird es gehen. Dann kommt die Bhakti. Das ist so ein bisschen, wollte ich euch so persönlich meine Überzeugung auch sagen. Ich bin euch sehr dankbar, dass ihr kommt zum Gora-Lila-Abend, weil ihr mir die Möglichkeit gibt, allein sowas vorzubereiten. Das war jetzt der erste Teil, es geht dann weiter mit unbekannten Lilas über Kolavitscher Sridhar am nächsten Gora-Lila-Abend. Das liebe ich so sehr. Ich habe sehr viel Service zu tun, aber da nehme ich mir den ganzen Tag immer frei und bereite mich vor, um diese Sachen zu erforschen. Ich habe 5 verschiedene Quellentexte, wo ich dann Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Chandramrita und verschiedene Chaitanya Bhagavat von Indologen auch übersetzte Version und so weiter und schaue und also danke, dass ihr kommt, aber ich möchte nicht, dass ihr sagt, und jetzt haben wir eine schöne Geschichte gehört und so weiter. Ich möchte gerne, es ist mein Anliegen, dass ihr daraus etwas mitnimmt. Das ist das Wertesystem der Transzendenz. Sich berühren zu lassen durch spirituelle Dinge. Der wollte nicht mal die 8 Cities. Mein Gott, wenn mir früher jemand gesagt hat, du, ich kann nur eines dieser Cities haben. Ich hätte alles für ihn getan. Ich hätte gearbeitet für umsonst mein ganzes Leben lang, nur wegen der Anima City. Das waren Ziele unserer Generation, die mystischen Verkommenheiten, die viele dann erreichten hatten. Also, ihr wisst vielleicht, die ganze Musikkultur ist dann die Mystik und die Magik, also ein Zweig, die Stones und Jimmy Page und Robert Plant und all die sind da rein und wir jungen Leute sind natürlich hinterher wie irgendwas. Aber der sagt, nein, das will ich nicht. Das gibt viel schönere Sachen. Hat mich sehr berührt, einfach, das zu sehen. Gut,
Aber Prema Bhakti kriegt man auch durch ein anderes Mittel. Prasada. Prasada. Voll. Radhasya Sunda. Wir haben, also Vanunandini war eine ihrer Freundinnen, kann man sagen, guten Freundinnen, die geheiratet hat, an Brijbasi, und hat dann extra 2 Dosen für euch mitgenommen. Ich würde sagen, Vanunandini, du kannst das vielleicht verteilen. Vielleicht will man das, wenn die Devotees draußen gehen, du kannst, die sind hier, die könnt ihr dann mitnehmen. Hare Krishna, ich kann ja den Devotees, warte mal, gib mir mal. For those of you who are still on the internet, I said, amongst many things, you can get Prema Bhakti by Mahaprasad from Shishirada Syam Sundar originally. I heard it was made for the devotees in Germany. The devotees cooked it in the kitchen of Krishna Balaram and offered it for Krishna Balaram just for you. Was? For Dorada Shyam Sundar, I'm sorry. Yes. So you will get it. It's just for you. From the Lord of Vrindavan, the King and the Queen of Vrindavan. Wow! Nee, also das ist die. Aber bitte nicht nur jetzt alles andere vergessen und sagen, okay, ich bin Mitglied der S-Kultur, das reicht mir. Oder? Ja. In die Indische. Geht nicht, das Indisch. Vorsicht, nicht fallen lassen. Ich würde vielleicht ganz gerne Tushta und Mangala bitten, kurz zu kommen.